the hymns just have to go with certain discourses. And that's the situation here. Our next speaker, Brother Joe Panucci, has selected as his subject, Trust and Obey. Brother Joe.
Thank you, Brother Ruggiero and Brother Dunn, for that beautiful prayer. Trust and obey. Do we trust the Lord? Then we also must obey. I can't help thinking, what a beautiful sight is from here to see all of you, to see your face. And just think, for 6 days, this hall is going to be the house of the Lord. Because you are here. If for one moment we could change our eyes to a spiritual visions and look up in the sky, perhaps we see many angels, because whatever the Lord's people are, there you find angels. If it wasn't for the angel of the Lord watching over you, my dear brethren, you can rest assured that the devil will destroy every single Bible student throughout the world, because he knows that when the last member of that 144,000 is completed, is a chain waiting for him. Also can't help thinking, as I'm listening to the testimony of the brethren, saying, I am from Wisconsin, I am from Michigan, I am from Massachusetts, California, Florida. What a beautiful day that will be in that glorious kingdom, where there is no need for us to say that we are from different locations, because we are in the house of the Lord in that blessed kingdom. What honor that will be. Before I go any further, I want to give you the love and greetings of Sister Lucy. She misses all of you. And remember her in your prayers. One of the most beautiful expressions of a trust of the Lord is found in the Psalm 91, verse 2. It read, I will say over the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. And the preceding verse read, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. For 2,000 years and throughout the ages, a little band of a faithful Christian with a torch in their light in their hand and the light in their heart, they rejected the philosophy of darkness, and by the grace of God, they embraced the truth. For many centuries, the evil influence contaminated the mind of the people. And now he's gathering all his evil force for the final and crucial conflict. There is no question that the storm is raging in every corner of the world. and the wave of human passions are lashing against the power of earthly institutions. This situation is a striking terror to the heart of many people. But it is also the hour of temptation for the Lord's people. Because the trials and tribulation and difficulties we also must face. One of the most comforting statements found in the book of Psalms reads, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. How wonderful it is to realize that in time when the morning of the new day is approaching, the Lord's people have the truth, have a hope. They trust God. And the poor humanity in distress live in fear without any hope. And verse 4 of the Psalm suggests the manner in which the help is tendered to us by Heavenly Father. The psalmist went on to say, there is a river, the stream thereof shall make a glad the seal of God, the holy tabernacle, the most holy. This river in which is mentioned in Revelation 22:1, that is flowing over the throne of God and the Lamb, it is the river of life that our Heavenly Father will offer to every single human being on the face of the earth. It is the stream of a river that make a glad to the seed of God. There is no night in the holy city. It has no need of a light because it is the light. So therefore the whole visions indicate that we are now visualizing the glorified bride of Christ. She is portrayed as the holy Jerusalem, then a great brilliant city, beautifully adorned with every rich gem. Her foundation are garnished with all manner of precious stone. And eventually her light will penetrate every corner of the world. Then there will be no darkness. Her mission with the cooperation of the faithful prophet will cause the nations over the earth to enjoy the brightness of the truth and the beauty of the truth and the blessings of the hope. And there is no system in the world, religiously speaking, that has a message of comfort, the message of truth, comfort the Lord has revealed unto us. Yes, the stream of a river will indicate all the various promise of God penetrating to the world, becoming blessing. This river is not yet flowing, but all the promises related to the world coming blessing are even now making glad the heart of God's people. It is by this wonderful promise of God that help us in this time of distress. Another powerful statement was made by the Apostle Paul, recorded in Romans 8:31. He wrote, what shall we then say to this thing? If God is for us, who can be against us? There is no power of the whole universe that can touch God's people. Like all tell the brethren Remember, you are private property. You belong to the Lord. And because we're living in the dawn of the millennial day, by the grace of God, a clear knowledge of the truths are given to us regards to the world events that soon will come to pass. Yes, Paul had a very good reason when the letter to the Thessalonians, he wrote, "By ye brethren," he said, "are not in darkness, that they day shall overtake you as a thief." And the modern version, it reads, "You, however, brethren, are not in the dark, so that they should surprise you like a thief." And we are very happy to know that the glorious seed of God is in the process of being complete. Yes, the 12 foundations are in place. And our beloved master, the architect, has the blueprint in his hands. But there is still some precious jewel on this side of the veil. Those are represented by the prophet David as have been in the hall of the tabernacle. It is described in the 9th verse Psalm as being in the secret place of the Most High, where those who dwell abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Yes, full consecration to do the will of God is the condition upon which we enter into the holy place. It must be an unreserved devotion to the Lord and the Spirit of the truth. The implication of full consecration to the Lord, as we know, are represented by the three articles of furniture in the typical hall of the tabernacle. You all know them, the showbread, the golden candlestick with seven branches, and the golden altar. As we have learned, we are being nourished by the showbread, the Word of God. And we are enlightened by the truth of the words. Then by the strength and the light that we are able to we are able then to proceed to the golden altar or the holy and then offer incense of praise to our Heavenly Father. Yes, we have learned long time ago that full consecration leads to sacrifice. And this is what the tabernacle is all about. Paul expressed this in Romans 12:1 when he says, "Our body are a living sacrifice." And to do this, we need to be strengthened and enlightened by the truth which by the grace of God was revealed unto us. But on the other hand, no matter how much we feed upon the truth, and regardless of how well we are knowledgeable of the truth, if we lack the spirit of sacrifice, our consecration is not complete. It has been said, the question which each one of us ought to ask ourselves, are we actually dwelling in the secret place of the antitypical holy? At times it is profitable, spiritual speaking, that we examine ourselves on this point by turning the searchlight of the truth into our own heart to discover if there be still some undiscovered resistance to the Lord's will. But even then I do not think that it is wise to rely altogether on our own judgment. Paul then, in 1 Corinthians 4:3 said, I judge not myself. But we trust the judgment of the Lord. And we can rest assured in peace that His viewpoint in dealing with us, which one of us, is the best for us. It was Him that revealed to us the truth. And we are able to comprehend the beauty of the truth only by the help of the Lord. A clear vision of the glorious gospel of the kingdom is the hope that animated all of us. And regardless of what the cost may be, we will and we shall remain faithful to our consecration, regardless of what the circumstances would be in our lives. And in spite of the turmoil all over the world, yet it is a glorious time in which we live. It is the time when the morning's about to appear. It is time mentioned by the prophet Isaiah when in answer to the question, watchmen, what of the night? The watchman answer, the morning cometh, and also the night. And a better translation of the watchman reply is, the morning cometh, but it's still dark. Yes, it is still dark. It is a darkness through which a human wisdom cannot find the solutions. This created fear in the heart of the people, every corner of the world. This is the time to give a serious consideration to the word of the Master, recording in Luke 21:28, they read, when these things begin to pass, he said, then look up, lift up your hand for thy deliverance draws nigh. Consecration to God does not mean the end of our trials. Nevertheless, with the wisdom from above, we can solve our problems in harmony with God's way. If we do this, we can enjoy a peace and tranquility of our heart and mind. And regardless of the outcome of the world events, serious, religious and politically, we firmly believe that God is in charge of the human destiny and He will accomplish His plan of salvation first in regards to the spiritual family and then to the world in general. And from the beauty of the truth, we see that from the golden of the tabernacle, symbolic of thy nation, to the precious promise of revelation, the Bible presents one promise after another to encourage us and to inspire us that we remain firm in our determination to be faithful until the end of our journey. Yes, my dear brother, we need not to be discouraged. As we see in various cities in this land, the brethren getting smaller and smaller and smaller because they finish their course. But remember those few that are still on this side of the veil. By the grace of God, they will continue to raise the torch of truth in order to eliminate the one that the Lord will torture their heart. Yes, we'll remember the story of the Gideon and the little band of 300 chosen faithful men who, with the mighty hand of God, defeated a vast army of Midianites. In this remarkable story, we are given an insight into some of the important way which the Lord used his mighty power to destroy the evil forces. And so it is remarkable that he is the one that make all decisions. Yes, he make all decisions, whether we like it or not, whether we agree or not. When he commissioned Gideon, Gideon trusts his God. Did God commission Gideon because he needed his help? Not at all. He's not in need of any help. And we should be thankful that he's given us the honor and the privilege to cooperate with him to promulgate the truth of the Bible, to eliminate the one that he responded to the message of the gospel to. It is also interesting that neither Gideon or any who is a little Ben, over 300 men carry swords or any spear in their attack against the Midianites, great army. And in considering the experience of Gideon in connection with the defeat of the Midianites, one of the first lessons we observe is that the Lord does not depend on the human power or a number or institution to accomplish his purpose. How do we know that? To impress the point to Gideon, he told him to reduce the army from 32,000 to an insignificant number over 300. I think if I was in the shoes, I'd run away. But Gideon sensed it, that the Lord will let him know that only by his wisdom and power would it be possible to defeat the great army of the Midianite. After that victory had been gained and Israel was freed from the enemy, the people wanted Gideon to be the leader. But he replied, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. What a display of humility on the part of Gideon, and what honor he rendered unto the Lord. He realized that the people's desire to have him as a ruler was based on the false assumption that it was him who defeated the enemy, but he wanted them to know that the real conqueror was God, and that God therefore should be their ruler. For Gideon, it was a privilege for him to have the mighty power of God at his side. And for us, the Bible revealed that the loving care of Heavenly Father is always on our side, to guide us in all the affairs of our consecrated life. We can rest assured that when we are weak, he will give us strength. When we make mistakes, he will forgive us. When we are in need of those assurances, because we, like any other people, are exposed to the evil world, as long as we're still on the side of the veil, Satan, remember, will make every effort to bruise the heel of the seed. Yes, Gideon learned well the lesson that only by the strength of the Lord he was able to defeat the enemies. Have we learned the lessons? The enemy of spiritual Israel are not spears or swords or people. And one, though the principal enemy is our own flesh, associated with our flesh is the world and the prince of the present evil world. And it is almost impossible, even for the strongest Christian, to fight and win without the wisdom and strength given to us by the Lord. No wonder we tremble when we think of self. But by the same token, when we look away from self and look to the Lord, then we're strong. For the new creation, it is struggle. It is indispensable that every day of our life, we must look to the Lord for guidance and lean upon Him. He will sustain us if we go to Him. From the account of Ogina, we learn that this little band did not use any weapons for the original attack. It was the wisdom and power of the Heavenly Father that protected them, and they won the battle against their enemy. Oh, we all remember the little story of Moses. When the Israelites approached the Red Sea, the situation was very, very dangerous and hopeless. Did Moses have any ships waiting for him to take them across the river? No, there was no ship then. These Israelites all became panic. They began to rebel against Moses. But he was not disturbed. He trusted the mighty hand of God. What did he do? I can visualize in a loud voice when he said to them, "Stand still, and you shall see the salvation of the Lord." The Lord says to Moses, "Why cry to me?" He said, "Lift up your rod, open your hand, your arms, and the water will open." What a miracle that was, my dear brethren. I wish I was there to see the power and hand of God. Perhaps, my dear brethren, there is a time that you and I, we go through some Red Sea experience in our lives. Maybe we'd be confronted with the same situation. And the only thing we can do, like they were told to do by Moses, to stand still. The Lord will provide the salvations. We can rest always on our side when we face Red Sea experiences. He never, never lets you sink. Jesus is always on your side. Don't try to swim. You'll never make it. Rely on the mighty hand of God when you have a true experience. We have learned from the Bible that without faith it's impossible to please God. This is an understandable, a practical truth. And as faith in God is indispensable, equally indispensable is our complete confidence and trust in Him. All we have to do, my dear brethren, is to obey. And trust in Him without any reservations. That no matter what experience the Lord will permit to come our way, we must trust His judgment. But it's not the case that we blindly trust the Lord and not knowing the ultimate purpose of the experience which the Lord permit to come our way. To all His people, He has revealed that purpose, which is the image of our Master might develop in our life in preparation for the blessed privilege of reigning throughout the endless eternity. In the book of Proverbs 15:3, we are told that the eyes of the Lord are every place, beholding the evil and the good. In other words, the Lord's people are always within the range of His visions, no matter where we are. And I can tell you this from experience going different part of the world. And this is very comforting. It indicates that the Lord knows circumstances which are favorable to us as a new creature, and also know the evil influence which He pressed against us. And any effort made by the adversary to hinder our progress in the narrow way, the mighty hand of God will stop. Will prevent it. Notice the encouragement, the words of David in Psalm 139 says, "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell grave, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." What a wonderful promise this is, my dear brethren. What a power we have in our sight. The power of God. Let us keep in mind that the consequence of 6 years of a permission of evil upon the human race will intensify in the last days of a human drama. They cry for better condition and liberty, and in many countries take various forms, in many cases leads to violence. The power of knowledge is so great that the mass people throughout the world cannot be controlled. So therefore, my dear brethren, as we see these things, they'll come so fast. It's not like it used to be years ago. They come like a lightning. Let us stand firm to the foundation of the truth, which you have learned many years ago. The truth will never change. What has been truth many years ago, 1,000 years, still true today. Let us stand firm to the foundation of the truth, which the Lord has revealed to us many years ago. And trust the hand of the Lord and be obedient to the Lord. And may the Lord bless us to do this. Our loving, gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy holy name. In the spirit of humility, Father, we come before thee to render thee, Father, many thanks for thy love, for Jesus, the one that died on Calvary cross for us, for the truth which is precious to our heart, for the brethren, and for this convention. Father, we so thank for revealing to us thy plan of salvation, not only for us, but also for the world and mankind, when they will worship thee in truth and spirit. We look forward for that day, Father, and we continually pray for thy kingdom, realizing this is the only hope for this world. And as we remain yet on this side of the veil, Father, we pray thou wilt help us to fulfill all of our consecration and to let nothing stand away until the end. Father, we pray for thy kingdom, and we pray for thy people everywhere. Thou know their needs. Father, we pray thou will bless our fellowship and the remainder of these conventions. These favors and blessings we ask them, not because we have any merits, but we ask them in the precious name of Jesus for the forgiveness of our shortcomings. Amen.